Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to be with you on this Wednesday. We welcome everyone to the Steve Jones Show here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Going to talk some Yankee baseball here in just a few minutes. Also, Mike Conti is going to join us from Atlanta. He's the pregame and postgame host on the Hawks Network as they open play tonight with the Cleveland Cavaliers in the NBA's Eastern Conference Final after Golden State won the opener last night and Minnesota did indeed win the draft lottery. You were riveted.
I didn't even bother taking the time to even DVR it.
Is everything you do DVR?
Everything I do is DVR because I'm rarely home anymore.
Is that our fault?
No, not at all. I only have two more years, and then I got to figure out what to do with life. Right now, it revolves around a 16-year-old. After that, I don't know what's going to happen.
Nah, he wouldn't mind if you backed off. I've talked to him.
This is a four-game week. I mean, this is like a major league week of baseball.
There is. Tell me, somebody else manages the team, right?
No, I'm a bench coach and scorekeeper.
What does that involve?
I'm the morale coach and keep the scorebook, basically. Every once in a while, some instruction, you know.
Morale coach?
I know. Yeah, it's shocking, isn't it?
Lawrence and I can attest to the fact that you're not a morale coach.
I save it all for the young men that we're bringing up in the baseball world.
You must. Morale coach. I've heard it all now. Okay.
You know, like last night, it was a tough strike zone. Pitcher was getting a little frustrated. I said, hey, listen, you got to throw to that strike zone. Well, it's the size of a walnut. That's true. It might be, but you still got to throw to that. And you're making good pitches. I said, keep throwing them there. Sooner or later, they're going to be strikes. Sooner or later, they started hitting it. We were fielding the ball, and it was a good day. Not every pitch has to be a strikeout.
That's not the way you treat Lawrence and me.
Well, it's because I like these kids.
Wow.
Of course, though, what's really funny is when you start making 80s baseball movie references and they have no clue what you're talking about. But yet all the other adults that are around are laughing. Don't worry about strikeouts. Strikeouts are fascist. Ground balls are more democratic.
Oh, boy. You're way over their heads on that.
Exactly. But yet, every other coach and all the adults are like...
No. Play to the grab.
That's right. Know your audience. Or at least half of your audience, anyway.
I've been trying to tell you that in this show for 3.5 years.
Well, that's why I'm trying to fill the half of the audience that have the same thoughts that I have. That's why.
All right, very quickly, how do you see this Indy thing playing out?
Too early to tell yet. Ask me tomorrow at this time once we get through carb day.
What does that tell you?
Well, listen, they have not had really any time to try out the race setups because they were trying qualifying setups so long and then all of a sudden got thrown in and had to throw a race setup together, had a practice on Monday, shut everything down until Thursday for about an hour. This should be an intriguing race, just because they have made so many changes to the car over the last week. I don't know that they're sure what it's going to do. And they've never tested these aero kits on a race, especially a 500-mile race, with these new aero kits in race mode. So
I'm picking AJ Foyt.
I like Graham Rahal right now.
He at least knows how to drive.
He does. He's got, what, 3 cars in the race, I believe? I like Graham Rahal right now. He's had a very, very good year. And wouldn't it be interesting, on the week of the final Letterman show, that
tonight's Letterman, the final Letterman show.
Right.
Tonight.
Well, at the end of the week of the final Letterman show, that Graham Rahal, who by the way, David Letterman is part owner of that team, would actually win the Indianapolis 500, and he wouldn't be able to have him on the show. He might come back just for one show for that.
Graham Rahal's not going to win.
And he's been driving really, really well.
He's not going to win.
Okay. Why?
He can't have the best car. He doesn't have the best car.
I'm not sure who has the best car right now.
I think Dixon has the best car.
Well, he definitely had the best car on Sunday. At least for 4 laps.
Yeah. Not going to fly into the stands like some of your other, you know, these other guys. I mean, what the heck? I mean, NASCAR's a safer race.
Okay. By the way, James Hinchcliffe, who was involved in the accident on Monday, was transferred out of intensive care, but obviously he is definitely out for the race on Sunday.
Right, yeah. I would expect that.
By the way, ticket prices for the Indy 500 have risen about 12% since 2014.
Why? You know,
I don't know. I wondered that myself. I thought that was very interesting, but there aren't many seats that are available.
This was an automatic sellout in every other year before the month even began. Okay, don't try to polish something that is left on the ground. Okay. It's gone from automatic sellout to like, hey, we don't have a lot of tickets left. You got tickets left. That means you're not selling out.
Let's see. What would the best
Correct?
Seating be available?
I'm saying, though, but this was an automatic sellout forever and ever and ever. It's not sold out now.
It hasn't been for 20 years, and you can blame the George family for that, and one in particular, but that's a topic that is hopefully gone soon, and the resurgence will make it better.
What resurgence?
The resurgence for the race itself.
Okay.
Right now, the only seats, the best seats that are available, are row X in the South Vista.
Those aren't the only seats available.
Just about.
What does just about mean?
Well, ticket prices.
The seats there, available?
Let me put you this way. There are no tickets available that are $46, and that's the low end.
I feel like I'm working with the Obama administration here. Well, I don't know. It's like, okay. Just answer the question.
There are no seats available at $46, I can tell you that, and that is the low-end ticket price that will get you a seat.
But this, you know, but ticket prices are something that every sport now, right now, I don't care whether it's the NFL, the NBA, NHL, college football, college basketball, IndyCar, NASCAR, Major League Baseball. They're all getting more money from television than ever before. Why do you need to raise ticket prices?
Well, listen, I am not for raising ticket prices. I do not support that at all.
Well, I didn't say that.
No, I know. I'm just saying I don't support that at all.
I do not understand why you have to have such high-end tickets. You've got to be able to start. There has to be a more realistic approach. But look, sports is a business, and I've tried to explain that repeatedly on this show. It is a business. But it is a business where if you're in the business 15 years ago, 15, I didn't say 50, I said 15. So now we're going to take it back to 2000. There is no way on the planet that each one of these leagues could... the Big Ten, we're going to have Jim Delaney on the show next week. And he's the last one up to negotiate a TV package. Last one up in college. The NBA just cracked the $2.5 billion plus barrier in their TV contract. 15 years ago, they couldn't have dreamed about getting that kind of money. Never. Major League Baseball is an $8 to $9 billion industry. It wasn't an $8 to $9 billion industry in 2000. TV contracts for the NFL are the highest they've ever been, plus they have Thursday Night Football now. Everybody has a TV deal. So explain to me why, when you're getting more money than you ever dreamed from television, that you need to raise ticket prices.
Right now, the Indianapolis 500 ticket prices range from 186, which are the upper-level penthouse, you know, deck seats, down to $46, with ranges that hover between 70 and 100 more than anything else, that are, and a few of those are still available. That's why, you know, you compare that now to a 500-mile race up at Pocono, where the ticket price for the lower level is $25.
Right.
Well, but my point is, you're paying three times as much just to watch the Indianapolis 500. Now, am I, even, you know, as much as I love the Indianapolis 500, I cannot shell out $100 to sit down. Nor would I. But you know what? I'll watch a 500-mile race up at Pocono for $25 and not think twice about it.
You're not really the standard to go by.
Well, but there's a threat. I'm saying everybody has a threshold.
You're cheap.
Very true. But everybody has a threshold. Like, this is the price point where, to me, it's not worth it.
Charity golf tournament. If you give money for this, like, Steve, you got some cash?
Did not ask you for cash.
Yeah, you did.
I don't recall that. I'm sorry, Your Honor, I don't recall.
Or you get that glance, you can take care of this, right?
Steve, you got this. You're good. You're good. You got this.
It's all good. You got this, right?
Okay. Well, but continuing with the thought, there is a point where I think that the price point becomes a part where people are stepping away. And I think baseball is really close to that right now. Football, because of the lack of games, I think people are willing to put up a few more dollars because they know they're only going to get to see their team maybe, what, seven times? But baseball is at a price point now where if you're getting really good seats and you're a season ticket holder, oh my, you better cash in your 401k.
Basketball and hockey should both probably be 60-game seasons. Baseball should probably be 130, 135-game season. Realistically, if you knock out 32 games, you can start 10 days later in April, and you can end it 15 days earlier, maybe 20 days earlier in September, and start the playoffs earlier. TV, though, rules what goes on. And take, for example, the NHL and the NBA. The NHL and the NBA, these are their options. You either finish your playoff in April or you finish your playoff in June. Why? Because May is sweeps month for television. As much as the NBA people want to go on and on and on about the awesome, incredible popularity of their game and how it's increased and so on and so forth, television doesn't have enough confidence in it to win nights in the month of May. That's a statement unto itself. Television can't get enough NFL games into prime time. They still are reluctant about the NBA, thus the NBA finishes up in June with the finals because it's out of sweeps month. Hockey ends in early June, as much as people complain, I can't believe it's June and they're playing hockey. But if they want to have it on NBC, over-the-air NBC, that's their option because they don't want hockey on in prime time in the month of May, which is a sweeps month. The three sweeps months are November, February, and May. Those are the three critical months where television sets their ad rates for the next year. That's why the NBA and NHL seasons don't finish in May. But idealistically, baseball should probably be a 130-game season. The NBA and NHL probably should be 60-game seasons. Is it realistic? Well, in the NHL, it's absolutely not realistic because if the salaries are what they are, they need the 82 games and the revenue that comes in from it, and the 11 extra home games that they get. You're saying, how do you come up with 11? 60 is 22 from 82. So 11 have to be on the road and 11 are at home. So they need those extra 11 home games to make up for it. That's where the NHL is. Does baseball need that? Baseball salary structure is completely out of control. There is no salary cap. You have people making a ridiculous amount of money. We're entertainers. I'll tell you right now, the dude that comes in the sixth and seventh inning, okay, interchangeable part, I'm not entertained. Okay? There are a few guys that entertain me. Those guys aren't the guys. All right?
But if they're making so much money on TV, Steve, why do the ticket prices increase?
Well, baseball's a little different because it's done in a regional. Baseball's revenue sharing is for the national contract only. Right? Remember that. The NFL, everybody gets a 1/32nd slice of the pie. The NBA, they get 1/30th the slice of the pie. Big Ten, it's 1/14th. SEC, it's 1/14th. You know, that's how it works. Socialism works in sports.
Socialism works in sports. I like that.
Well, it does, but it does. In other words, these are not independent businesses. They're doing it as a group. As I mentioned, the business is the NFL. With the 32 branches. So you want all 32 to have a chance to thrive and survive. You don't want it. You don't want a league. Look at the history of leagues. The history of leagues, you don't want teams moving all over the map or folding. The last NFL team to fold was the Dallas Texans in the early 50s. Now, you've had some teams move. The Rams are now in St. Louis. We don't know what's going to happen with Oakland and San Diego coming up with the Los Angeles market. You know, obviously the Oilers are now the Tennessee Titans. You've had some movement. But for the most part, the NFL's been pretty stable. Baseball, for the most part, pretty stable over the last how many years? Tampa Bay's got some trouble. There's no question about that. That's why Montreal, Rob Manfred, the baseball commissioner, met with the people in Montreal a week ago. About what they might do with a ballpark up there. The NHL's had some movement. Now they're talking about expansion. Some movement includes, obviously, the Atlanta Thrashers becoming the Winnipeg Jets. They've had a couple lockouts. NBA's had a little bit of movement. The Charlotte Hornets went to New Orleans, and then they came back as the Charlotte Bobcats. But you need stabilization of franchises. You look at the history of these leagues and the number of teams that have gone out of business. It would stun you as to what it was like in the early days of each league trying to hang on and get, or if they couldn't make it in places.
Steve, I got Tony and Shamokin that wants to jump in here real quick on our conversation. Tony?
Hey, Tony.
Yeah, good afternoon. To me, the sport that does it right is horse racing. Most tracks, there is no admission. You go in, of course, you pay money, but. And I'm sure the Triple Crown races, there may be an admission charge. Problem with horse racing is, after the three-year-old season, the owners take the horses out. You don't get to see these horses run anymore. That, to me, is hurting horse racing more than anything. Remember the
horse racing is doing well online, Tony. Very well online.
But if they have owners would keep these horses running, you know, for 4 or 5 years old. Instead of 3 years old, they're done. Like I said, Zenyatta. Look when she quit. She's at the top of her career. California Chrome, I think he's running this year, but I think he's done after this year. What would he be like when he's 5 or 6, 4 or 5? You know, that to me is what's hurting horse.
Well, and that's not the game anymore, Tony, as you and I both know. The game is obviously in the breeding part of it.
Yeah.
And what, you know, and the value of putting a horse like California's Chrome out the stud. I mean, the value to the owner goes off the charts. It makes up for the investment exponentially.
Well, continue to take the horses out and only leave the nags in there. The sport itself is going to die.
Well, the sport's struggling in terms of people being there. That's why here in Pennsylvania they put the casinos at the racetracks to get people to go back to the track. Dick and I went to Parks. It was a couple of years ago. Dick Girardi and I went to Parks together. And of course, I mean, Dick is considered royalty there. So when I went around with him, I went everywhere. Everywhere. Okay. Places that none of you get to go because of him. And, it was just interesting to see the people there. The attendance was okay there that day, but the casino attendance was strong, and people betting online was strong.
Thing is, this is just my opinion. You continue to have $2,500, $3,000 claiming races, the sport itself is going to fade away.
Yeah,
you got to keep those name horses in the sport. Yeah.
Well, let's face it, we're a star society, Tony, and stars do mean something. I mean, TNT is going to really thrive in the Eastern Conference playoff. Why? They've got LeBron James.
There you go. They couldn't be happier. Hey, listen, have a great day. Take care.
Thanks, bye. Tony. Good points. All right, we're going to talk about Yankee baseball next. That sound right?
Yeah. Brian Hoke from MLB.com.
I'll grit my teeth. Barrett. News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Next half hour, we'll go to Atlanta and talk with Mike Conti, who does the pregame and postgame for the Atlanta Hawks as they open up their series tonight with the Cleveland Cavaliers. And now for one of the more intriguing moments of the show, where a Red Sox fan talks to a Yankee reporter about the New York Yankees. Brian Hoke, MLB.com, who does great work. Brian, welcome. It's great to have you with us.
Oh, thanks for having me on.
All right. 22-18. Did you expect 22-18 through 40 games?
That's actually pretty much. You know what?
they weren't as bad as they looked when they were 3-6, and I don't think they were as good as they looked when they were 18-6 through 24 games. So, but yeah, when you look at that number on paper, that's about where I peg this club. You know, I think you can look at teams all throughout the American League, and you can pick out the problems with them, especially in the East. But, you know, coming into the season, I thought that this looked and felt like an 84-85 win team. And, you know, if you extrapolate this out over 162 games, I think that's pretty much where they will wind up.
Have the Yankees turned games into seven-inning games because of the back end of the bullpen?
Well, absolutely. I think that it would be difficult to ask more of what they've gotten from Betances and Miller. I know that Miller gave up the two-run homer to Zimmerman last night, but that was the first time he's been scored upon in 18 appearances. I didn't think he was going to finish a year with a zero ERA. So, No, it would be difficult to ask more than they've gotten out of the eighth and ninth inning guys. The rest of the bullpen has been a little bit soft, and I think that is one area of weakness for this team. But they're trying to shore that up. If they continue to get this out of Betances and Miller for the rest of the year, they'll be just fine. They'll be very happy with that.
Jacoby Ellsbury and Brett Gardner can be as fine as anybody at the top of the order setting. How serious is that sprained right knee from what you understand?
Yeah, all indications of what you're hearing right now is that it's more of a 2 or 3 week injury and not something that's going to keep him out for multiple months. He's going to have an MRI on it, and then the Yankees team doctor is going to look at it. So as of right now, you don't have the full picture of information here, but clearly it was significant enough that they knew they had to put him on the disabled list, and they made that move about 30 minutes after the game last night. So there was no chance that this was something he was going to play on. And it's a big dent in their lineup. I think that Ellsbury has been a catalyst atop that order. He's probably the best all-around athlete on the team. He's a big reason why they've led the majors in first-inning runs this season, him and Brett Gardner. They can replace Ellsbury defensively, but the whole package of what he brings, that's going to be tough to replicate.
A lot of talk about A-Rod, which we'll get to in a moment, but Mark Teixeira has 12 home runs. He's driven in 30. He may not be hitting for average, but what has he meant to giving that lineup some balance?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think that the days of him hitting over 300 are over, but I think what this shows is the importance of numbers other than batting average. And maybe he's not going to get a lot of hits. I know that the shift has dented into that a lot over the last few years for him, but if he can drive the ball, he's catching up with balls that he was getting gassed on or fouling off last year, and a lot of that was because of the wrist injury that he was still working his way back from. He seems to be healthy now. He's driving the ball, and
offensively makes that entire infield better. Correct statement?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, that's a Gold Glove defensive first baseman over there. He's one of the best in the league right now. I think that over the last couple of years, his game has actually slipped a little bit defensively, but if there's a ball hit down the first base with the game on the line, I think the Yankees feel pretty good about that.
I wanted to get some other things in first before we got to A-Rod. When you've watched him this year, and it's a guy that's an entire year away from the game, how remarkable is it that he's actually doing what he is doing?
Exceeding expectations, I think. I think that nobody really knew what to expect coming into the year. You know, this is unprecedented. A guy taking a year off at age 39, coming back, going into his age 40 season, and still producing at the plate. I think it's hard to find a parallel here because nobody's ever done it before, especially a guy coming back from a suspension. So I think what he's done all the right things. He's said all the right things since the day he started, came in spring training. So I think whoever he's paid to be on his side here and kind of guide him through this, they're certainly earning their money because he has been pretty close to perfect. And, you know, this relationship between him and the team could have been a very toxic one. It has been anything but that. And I think Brett Gardner said a few weeks ago, he said some of the newer Yankees guys who hadn't played with Alex, they had said, I'm surprised. I'm surprised at who this guy is because he's not what I thought coming in. I think he's a much different than what I expected. And so for A-Rod and the Yankees, that's a good sign.
Brian, this is a sport that celebrates great moments. What's it been like to cover muted history?
You know, it's hard to embrace it, I guess. It's hard to appreciate it, I guess, in the moment. But, yeah, I've been very fortunate to see some very cool things here. 2007 was my first year covering the Yankees on a daily basis. So that was the end of Joe Torre. And then the next year is the beginning of Joe Girardi, the closing of old Yankee Stadium, the opening of the new one, a World Series title. So, and then you add in the retirements of the core four in there. And There's a book to be written there, I'm pretty sure, and you know, hopefully someday I'll get to that.
But what's it been like though with the A-Rod situation, where he gets a milestone, but it's like, okay, let's just not make too big deal of this.
You know what? It's kind of par for the course. You expect the unexpected here with the Yankees, and they're, especially when A-Rod is involved, you really never know which way the storyline is going to go. But I think that even though a big deal was made about that, I mean, they did put it up on the scoreboard when he passed Willie Mays. I mean, they did acknowledge it. It was an awkward situation, to be sure, but it seemed like because he'd been saying all the right things and doing all the right things, right. It made it a little softer, and actually the fans were on his side. The fans were cheering for Alex. So I think that the Yankee management probably got that message and saw what was happening, and they went with that.
I know we have to let you go here in a few moments, but one final question I want to ask you about this club. When you look at the starting pitching, and their quality starts are middle of the road in the majors right now, do they have a core in starting pitching that can carry them in the summer in what's going to be obviously a very bunched division?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the key, is that there's nobody in this division. So if the Yankees are there, 84, 85, 86 wins, and maybe they can make a move in the middle of the summer to shore up some of the weak spots there, but they should be right in the mix for at least a wild card spot. And then once you're there, I mean, once you get in the big dance, you can go to it. Right. But I think Michael Pineda has been terrific. CeCe Sabathia has shown some signs of coming around. I mean, he's going to have to learn how to pitch with diminished stuff, and I think he's on that path. Nate Eovaldi, last night you saw what he's been. You know, great stuff. It just doesn't blow away hitters. For some reason, you know, guy's throwing 98 and everybody's hitting it. So he's got work to do there. And then you've got guys on the comeback trail. You've got Tanaka coming back from injury. Ivan Nova is coming back from Tommy John surgery. If those guys come back, they can have plenty of starting pitching depth, and I think that's what you want, especially when you get into August and September.
Okay, I lied about one more thing. One more thing, I promise. Between now and July 31st, in your opinion, what do they need to shore up through a trade or a move that keeps them in the top four so they can get to the playoffs, top five to get to the playoffs?
Oh, that's a good question. Well, I think a lot of that's going to depend on whether Tanaka comes back healthy and is Masahiro Tanaka, or if he has some kind of setback, he's going to start on Thursday at Scranton. If his rehab does not go well, I think they need another starting pitcher. I think you can look at that and say, all right, now it's time to go make a move. Brian Cashman's been pretty good about picking up guys, smaller pieces in season. You remember last year he went and got Martin Prado at the deadline, right, and made some other moves there to kind of upgrade incrementally if he could. But I think that if you're really going to push all your chips in, if Tanaka's hurt, you probably need to go get another stud starting pitcher, because it's something they, other than Pineda, they don't really have a guy who you'd want to give the ball in game one of the postseason.
Brian, thanks so much. Appreciate the time tremendously, and we look forward to talking to you again.
All right. Thanks very much.
Brian Hoke, MLB.com. Mike Conti next half hour here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Need a break? SMC can help. Sunbury Motors Ford wants to give you a spring break. Choose from over 250 new Fords with savings up to 10 grand. And financing as low as 0% for up to 72 months. And no payments for 90 days. Pick from over 40 of the fuel-efficient 2015 Ford Focus. And they're priced from just $16,980. SMC has 30 of the top-selling 2015 Ford Escapes. And they're slashed to as low as $19,915. The number one selling truck for 38 consecutive years is the Ford F-Series, and Sunbury Motors has 80 trucks in stock starting as low as $25,989. Every new Ford will be clearly marked during this unprecedented spring break sale at Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza and at sunburymotors.com. SMC, proudly owned by the Merce family for 100 years. Have a safe and happy Memorial Day from Sunbury Motors.
All right, update on the scoreboard for you. First of all, the Astros, who have the best record in the American League and the second best record in baseball, tied 1-1 with Oakland in the bottom half of the sixth inning at Minute Maid Park in Houston. Meanwhile, the Phillies and Rockies play tonight. That'll be at 8:40 Eastern time. Pirates and Twins tonight at PNC Park. Arsenal and Sunderland scoreless. 52nd minute in the Premier League.
Premier League.
Like Babcock. Huh?
In the Premier League.
Yes, you are primitive. The Maple Leafs have announced that Mike Babcock is their new head coach. He leaves the Detroit Red Wings and takes the job in Toronto.
Sean Carey tells me the Premier League is how it's pronounced in England, so I was just being proper.
And the show just spirals toward the earth. All right, let's see.
Actually, he's our Premier League expert in the building.
That's a very loose definition.
Well, the bar isn't really set high, I'll say that.
I thought Jennifer Wakeman was.
No, Sean's got her beat in the Premier League. He can tell you who's going to be relegated. I think that's the word they use.
That is something. People, I was reading an article in one of the airline magazines, flying wherever I was flying at the
time. One of those trips.
And it was a story, I think it was late in the season, and it was a story on MLS. So I'm reading the story about MLS because, I mean, let's face it, we know that it's been a league that's shown growth. And part of the story was about how MLS has caught on in popularity in Great Britain. But the one area that confuses the daylights out of them is how the next season starts and all the teams are still there.
All the same teams are there.
They don't relegate anybody. You don't get moved out. You don't get moved down. They don't seem to understand that in the MLS, if you get moved down, you're out. I mean, your franchise doesn't exist anymore.
If you had to compare apples to apples, I would say the NFL in popularity is the equivalent to the Premier League in London. Can you imagine if the worst four teams in the NFL were kicked out of the league? Oh, my goodness.
Well, honestly, would anybody care if the team?
I think there'd be a few, but
nationwide.
I think there would be a few, but can you imagine that? It's been a tough year for the Steelers. They're going to fall to 4-12 on the season, and they're out of the NFL for this next year. What?
They've been relegated. Love it.
I mean, I could see that would be ugly.
What would be fun about that would be your reaction.
Oh, that would be ugly. There would be jersey burning and effigy.
Now, what was this yesterday? I don't like the drama of sports. Where did that come up? Where did that come from?
Oh, come on. You're always busting on me because I'm the one that likes to build up the stories and the drama. And now you're telling me all of a sudden you're all about the drama?
Two different topics.
Okay.
It's two different topics. I like the drama within the game.
Oh, okay.
As it plays out, ebb and flow. You're about the nothing time. Nothing. Zero. Zip. Zilch. Yeah, they're all standing around the cars looking at each other. It's like, oh, yeah, anybody going to put gas in? Okay, good. You're like, oh, God, yes, look, they're putting in fuel. I could care less about the fuel. Start. Let's go. How about the ebb and flow of the game, the back and forth? Dang, now that's drama. The drama. That's why you watch.
That's
you don't watch
not
the
drama.
Sit there. What? What's drama to you? Who's going to sing Back Home Again in Indiana? Jeez.
No, that's the pageantry. That's not drama. That's pageantry.
Yank somebody out from Martinsville. Throw them out there. Let them sing. Move on. I want the race to start.
The releasing of the balloons.
The releasing of the balloons. I'm making a sandwich or a burger when that's happening. Come on, man. I want to see back and forth, you know? That's the drama of it. The white reason you watch. You don't know how the Super Bowl is going to end. You, the whole thing, is sitting there at the Super Bowl pregame show saying, I wonder if Costas is going to ask Brady a really good question.